I stand here today because each of us is called to testify to the truth. Should any of us let things of men concern us more than things of God, we serve as stumbling blocks to our Lord's kingdom. In discussing how to meet increasing operating costs, the church council concerns itself with things of men. When a congregation led by the examples of its council lives with open hearts, providing joyfully for expanding ministry by applying funds, even when originally budgeted within a family for its comfort or convenience, angels sing. By self-denial and freely giving so that the Lord's kingdom can be perceived by individuals outside and within a local church, our minds begin a shift towards the things of God. Such giving may be initiated by a need for paying bills, but it cannot be sustained by that alone. Resentment of the church, anger with its leaders who talk about money, and eventual disavowal of Christ is Satan's goal for us. Asking the Holy Spirit's transformation of my mind and my heart is a far greater value in heaven than any amount of money in which the one petitioning and receiving has no skin. Solomon asked God for wisdom. After Israel received the fruits of Solomon's wisdom, his nation was divided, for Solomon had increasingly welcomed wives into his household for political gain, wives who worshiped foreign gods. Our own nation suffers signs of satanic division that will not be healed by which party can field the larger number of protesters, nor by legislative acts or repealing laws based upon things of men. There is something more required. 100 years after Solomon's reign, during a time of foreign famine, when Israel had fallen into seeking prosperity through Baal worship, Elijah was prompted by God to ask bread of a widow at Zarephath. The woman and her son were starving, yet she gave what Elijah asked from her last little bit of flour. Her flour and oil were not used up before the end of the drought. This was just one woman in an apostate nation, just as we are one church in an apostate nation. Subjecting oneself to obedience of God's prophetic word brings joy through eternal perspective. Hamartia, the Greek word meaning missing the mark, most often translated sin, is fitting in the context of choices we are making every day. Some of us recreationally pursue hitting a bullseye with a projectile. It's reasonable to expect a practiced marksman to hit the mark. However, no perfect score rivals the joy in seeing young grandchildren hit that mark occasionally. Our Father in heaven has set targets for us, his children, in the form of commandments. We may discover, while consciously practicing, that the more we fall short of perfection, the more desire we have to practice more diligently. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus tell Peter how blessed Peter was to have the Father in heaven reveal to Peter that Jesus was truly the Christ, Son of the Father. This week, we read of Jesus rebuking Peter for desiring things of men. Peter wanted to save Jesus. According to the tradition, Peter died on a cross in Rome after seeing his wife being crucified. We know that Peter's wife did accompany him on missionary journeys because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:5 about giving up rights, including the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. Our congregation is a section of God's orchestra required for performance of music composed and directed by God. We are also a unit within God's army required to mop up after Jesus' victory over 2,000 years ago. No matter how small or weak and personally inadequate each of us is in himself, whether creative artist or warrior, there exists sufficient means by which to accomplish God's calling. Let us not, as Isaiah said to people in his generation, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. When Pharaoh gave the order for all male babies to be thrown into the Nile at birth, about 500 years before King Solomon of Israel, a Levite woman put her baby into a papyrus basket to float among the reeds. Moses' sister stood watch and reported to their mother that Pharaoh's daughter found her baby brother and would pay a nursing Hebrew woman so that Moses could be adopted. Some years later, Moses had to flee Egypt after killing an abusive Egyptian overseer. While on the run, Moses rescued the daughters of a priest in a neighboring country. Slowing down during his escape to draw water for the women, he married one of Jethro's daughters. Moses, while tending this priest's sheep, took time to observe a burning bush. God was preparing Moses to shepherd the Lord's captive sheep. The Midianite priest's influence upon Moses was already set in motion when Melchizedek, priest and king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, met Abraham returning from his rescue of Lot. Melchizedek served Abram bread and wine, and Abram gave a tithe to Melchizedek. This is some 600 years before Moses. Melchizedek is mentioned in Genesis and in Psalm 110, but it is in the New Testament book of Hebrews, where we read of Jesus becoming a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There's mystery here. Divine mystery points to something that we don't understand in our heads, but we keep discovering more in our hearts. In early days of American history, men like Jonathan Edwards preached for hours each Sunday toward greater understanding of the mysteries of God's providence. Whether we measure our time in minutes or centuries, our attempt at shortcuts to accomplish final outcomes interferes with personal transformation. When a young grandson told me over the phone he was coming to our church this week, I said the sermon would be long. He assured me he'd listen all the way through instead of drawing pictures. Do we listen all the way through life? Or do we apply filters to get through with less discomfort? Here we stake everything we have, our earthly goods, our earthly lives, and our eternal souls, on the words we repeat in the Apostles' Creed. Jesus said he will reward each person according to what he has done. Jesus also told Peter, "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Follow me." I asked a longtime friend, why do people so easily get so much wrong? The reply was, we want to be liked. We want to be thought smart. And we need reinforcement that our opinions are right. Are these worthy aspirations for children of God who seek to reflect our Heavenly Father's glory for all men to enjoy? Our self-centered tendency to seek a lethargic comfort is exploited by opportunists. Marketing and public relations departments are pagan priests who encourage us to worship self. How many of us believe there even exists holy ground? We move faster and faster, pursuing self-gratifying goods and activities without awareness of the holy. Never understanding the news headlines, media sound bites, and mobs protesting to be a reflection of our own concern for things of men. We worry, but we miss the abundance of divine signs all around us throughout our regular work week. We no longer religiously take one day of rest and reflection out of 7 days of rushing about in pursuit of more. Luke reports that Jesus tells the scrupulously observant Pharisees where to start looking for his kingdom. In Luke 17:21, the apostle records, "Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. It is this kingdom that some see before tasting death.'" God called to Moses after preparing Moses by divine acts of salvation through impulse carried out by others that made it possible for Moses to lead out of captivity a nation God chose to be a light to the world. Our own nation was blessed in order to bear the light of Christ Jesus for the world by means that few apprehend, including many who are progeny of slavers, of slaves, and of liberators. Our own church is soil in which seed is planted. When Moses took time while tending his father-in-law's sheep to observe the burning bush, he heard God's voice calling out, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." Moses' reply to God's subsequent invitation to act is my own typical reaction when hearing God's call to service. Who am I that I should go? Just prior to Jesus' announcement of his approaching death, the Pharisees and Sadducees, self-appointed guardians of holiness, demanded signs from Jesus. They believed themselves the final judges of righteousness. I know the sheepdog impulse against the threat by which Peter drew his master's rebuke upon Peter's hearing Jesus foretell his approaching suffering and death. A warrior, like a musician, must learn that rushing is fruitless. Peter eventually learned slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Paradox and perfection occurs by long hours and years of discipline. Followers of Jesus know the discipline of a cross in place of typical self-gratifying rush to fix everything. Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days after Passover. Passover celebrates the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, led by Moses, who was born, saved, and called by God to do very specific work over many years. Men are still actively being called to deny ourselves and take up a cross. Public school personnel today are held liable for any mention of the working of the Holy Spirit. Throughout their schooling, students are encouraged to demand their rights to make personal choices and have life their way. A child may be punished for using a pronoun that traditionally describes a biological fact. The church is not immune from absurdities of a culture when trying to save itself by catering to false opinions about doctrine, liturgy, or hypocrisy. Unlike restaurants and theaters that thrive by appropriately meeting the demands of patrons, churches thrive when confessing revelations of God and then speaking that truth boldly. There does exist holy ground, and we do trod upon it. There is a cross in the life of anybody who follows the one who died on a cross. Consideration for external styles in churches, much like for clothing, marks acceptance and rejection of church, of Christians, and of Christ for many. Whether we choose to live within a church or outside it, it is the Lord who brings our inner spiritual self and our outer worldly self into proper sync when we know we are on his holy ground. Jesus forms us into what we truly desire above everything else, like in an athlete's or a musician's training. Constant love for what one practices over time yields results. It takes a lot of practice to love our enemies the way we naturally love those who love us. It takes constant prayer and a spirit of caring for others to become transformed after confessing with our lips, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Like Moses did literally, we symbolically remove our sandals on holy ground when we come to observe signs God provides in a broad spectrum of activities. Our inadequacy shows only when relying on our own strength in the process of life. Surviving violence in life has caused individuals to learn that whatever their training for self-sufficiency against assailants, self-initiated, forced by itself, is as nothing. In the Lord's regeneration of human spirit, we reflect Christ's own holding back nothing when lifted on a Roman cross, and there his promising another who hung, "Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." When we come to know persecution by any number of worldly eventualities, we can be assured, as this thief is assured, of something within, something greater than any worldly loss we suffer. This congregation has a store of treasure in heaven by its caring for the lives of others. Nothing, not personal denigration, not war and rioting, not persecution of believers, nor disease, nor bodily death, not even a cross, can destroy or diminish what God in Christ Jesus provides those actively seeking first the kingdom of God. I pray that our hearts come to desire fewer temporary distractions relative to accomplishing ministry, announcing God's eternal kingdom on earth. We must resist compromise in a world that hates its Lord and hates his gospel. Freedoms will prevail for Americans faithful in asking God for his mercy upon our apostate nation. There exists no middle way tolerance of evil by good. At his trial, Jesus told Pilate, "I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to me." Contemporary social and legal pressure seeks to redefine truth. Isaiah prophesied, "Woe on those who say, 'Let God hurry, let him hasten his work so we may see it.' Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes." The church is a fellowship of those who follow Christ, a fellowship that accepts Christ's light for seeking his kingdom of heaven on earth so that his light is reflected for all the world. That involves discomfort applied from inside and outside Christian fellowship as we confront devils of Isaiah's woe. There is one truth. It continues to shine and did shine already when Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Whether we accept or reject it for ourselves today, the truth is, Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. Each person is given to choose how to answer with our lives Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" Our lives may express the smoothly flowing, continuing revelation of God's kingdom within us, or we may rush into moments where we are frozen helplessly in place, prisoners of our own useless strength, while blaming the opposition of others. Discovering we indeed walk on holy ground, we are compelled to invite anybody we know to join us at Faith in Christ. be it one who is troubled or one who is overly content with his present worldly position, or one who is simply desiring to join others in seeking first the kingdom of God. Tongue-tied Moses needed first preparation for hearing his special call from God. It was a multitude of others, not different from us, starting with a desperate mother, a young sister, and a compassionate daughter of an evil ruler. Later, a foreign priest and his daughter, all working because they were inspired by God toward God's readying Moses to serve. It is always the Lord himself who acts through favorable impulse and action that individuals and congregations take. And it is the Lord who further acts through impulse planted within the heart of anyone who responds. Amen.